Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host of the show. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the great things they have to offer. We also have a link to Concordia on our website, KFUO.org. Well, this week on the show, we're discussing the topic of adoption. We're touching on everything from the process of how to adopt a child to legality issues, and we've also visited with some parents and kids who are now a family thanks to adoption. Now, remember that you, our listeners, get to be a part of the show. We would like you to call in or email your questions and comments for our expert. You can call or email anytime during the show. The number's in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. So let's jump right into today's discussion. We have two very special guests today. Deborah is from Denver, Colorado, and Jennifer of McKinney, Texas. Ladies, thank you so much for joining Faith and Family.
You're very welcome. Glad to have been invited.
Well, we are. Are you there, Jennifer?
Yes, I am. Glad to be here.
Great. Thank you. And we're honored to have both of you here. Also joining us today is our Director of Broadcast Services, Mr. Rod Swanitzer. And Rod, you have a special connection with our guest today.
We're related. This is my favorite cousin. One of them, one of many favorite cousins. Hi, Deborah, and hi, Jennifer.
Well, hi, Rod. Good morning. And yes, I am your favorite cousin.
Absolutely.
Well, we're happy to have all of you here with us today. And like I said, we're talking about adoption this week and all different aspects of that. And when there's an unplanned pregnancy, lives are forever affected, and in far too many cases, abortion is the result in which life was never even given a chance. There are some mothers, however, who are brave. They love their child in their womb enough to allow the baby a life, but they also want the best life possible for that baby. For these mothers, adoption is the best solution. It's not an easy decision, but a selfless act of love. Deborah and Jennifer will share their very touching story with our listeners today, but we want you to know that their hope is that even if one person is contemplating adoption and is helped by this hour, that it'll be worth every bit of difficulty it may be to talk about such a tough time. Deborah, if we can maybe start with you, take us back to your college years when you were faced with a tough time in your life.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I was a college student in Oklahoma in the late 1960s, and I dated an upperclassman exclusively from the fall of my freshman year until the fall of my junior year. I loved him very much. After this young man graduated from college, he was immediately drafted into the Army, and the fall of my junior year, he received orders to be sent to Vietnam. A month after he shipped overseas, I discovered that I was pregnant. When I wrote him a letter telling him of the pregnancy, I was heartbroken when he answered back that he did not want me to have the child and was not ready to be a husband or father. He suggested that I seriously consider abortion and also stated that he would be unable to assist me financially. As far as he was concerned, this was a closed chapter in his life, and contact with him was permanently broken during my pregnancy.
So what happened? What did you end up doing?
Well, from the moment I found out I was pregnant, I, of course, loved the little life that was growing inside of me. So although abortion would have been the expedient action to take, according to some people, there was never a time when I ever considered taking that step. This was a life I was carrying, conceived in love, and a gift from God that was my responsibility to do right by. So when I realized that I didn't have any support from my baby's father and no means to parent or afford a child on my own, I had a very difficult and life-changing decision to make between raising my child alone or giving that baby up for adoption. I had no job. My parents were on a very limited income following my father's heart attacks. And in the late 60s, being an unwed mother or an illegitimate child still carried a good deal of stigma. And although I would have held my head up high to raise my child, no matter who had a problem with it, I didn't want my child to have to suffer from my lapse in judgment. So after a great deal of prayer, agonizing, and soul-searching, I felt God was guiding me to show this baby the ultimate love gift of a stable home with both a father and mother to grow up with and be loved and given as many advantages in this life as possible. So with the blessings of my loving parents, I made the decision of adoption. Although my permanent home was in Colorado with my parents, I chose to go to a home for unwed mothers funded and run by the wonderful people of the Salvation Army in my home state of Kansas. And I'll be forever grateful for the Christian loving care and assistance I received there. I was assigned a wonderful, caring Christian social worker to encourage and assist me in searching for a couple wanting to adopt a child. And she encouraged me to focus on the joy I was providing a loving couple who wanted desperately to adopt a child.
Right.
And she also encouraged me to write a letter to my baby for the adoption file, explaining how much I loved him or her, that they were wanted, and why I chose adoption. And I hope that once he or she read it, that they would feel that my decision was based on love, and also, importantly to me, be encouraged to search for me should they decide they wanted to do that someday.
Wow.
Hey, Deborah, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind, and back up a little bit.
Okay.
When you realized that this young man just terribly, you know, sunk in your estimation, I'm sure, at the time, you were of an age that a lot of women out there are even at a younger age and probably, you know, less immature. And so can you speak to them that might be listening in on the emotional state and how that might have affected, you know, the tough decision that you'd have to make either way?
Well, sure. Regardless of how old a girl or a woman would be when they find themselves in that situation, they're going to be very emotionally upset and conflicted about it. And I can tell you that at the home that I stayed at, that the Salvation Army ran, I was the oldest girl there, unwed mother there. And there were girls there from 13 all the way up to my age. And I know that they were very conflicted. Some of them were in there for the second and third time. And their self-esteem was very low. And my suggestion or plea to anyone that is younger especially is respect yourself, listen to God, make the wisest decisions you can. And when you're faced with that situation, you have to grow up very fast. And you need to talk to God and ask him to guide you and be a parent, because you are one with that child in your womb. And you need to do the right thing by that child.
Boy, that's a good point. That, you know, in those kind of times, and it even happens sometime for the male side, you have to grow up instantly. I'm sure in your
you
case
certainly
too.
Do.
So that was very good advice for all those people out there. I would say too, and maybe you can comment on this, for the young men out there that are involved in such situations, they need to step up to the plate too, and be responsible. You know, I think a lot of people that work with the younger people today sense that we have, had a culture and a society that wants to completely disconnect the decisions we make with any responsibility for them, any consequences.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can do whatever you want in the name of love, which, by the way, that's as satanic as you can get. That's the heart and core of the satanic Bible, is do what you want, you know, under love. And so we know that that gets us into a lot of sticky, difficult situations. And so I really like what you're saying, Deborah, there, that you've got to realize that you have to make some tough decisions, and you have to do them responsibly and with not just yourself in mind, too. Can you talk about what dimensions, you know, were there others besides, you know, your own, well-being and what you thought the future might lead to if you went down the abortion route or you went the adoption route or the one we haven't talked about, if you decided to, you know, raise the child yourself?
Sure. Certainly, if I had made the decision to keep my baby, I know that I had a loving and supportive family who would have stood beside me and helped me raise that child. But my concern was for my parents. As I mentioned before, my dad's health was very iffy with his cardiac issues, and there wasn't a lot of money there, and it would have been a rough go. And I tried to focus on the fact that my child deserved both a father and a mother, that they be brought up in a stable home with two people who could nurture them and offer them all the advantages that life had to offer, that necessarily as a single mother I might not very well not have been able to do.
And that's a very admirable point, Deborah, that you know, you're I just admire that and respect you so much for thinking of Jennifer more than you did yourself, and that's difficult to do, isn't it? Because
yes,
you know, we do
now,
love self.
It
and
was
so,
a very painful decision, but you know, you have to put yourself aside and think about the child. And as I said before, abortion was never an option as far as I was concerned, because, as I said, that child was a gift from God. And if I had had an abortion, I doubt that I could have lived with the guilt.
That's great. And I was going to say, so obviously you were confident while you were at this home that you were doing the right thing, or was there any point that you were maybe second-guessing yourself?
Well, I mean, it's natural to think twice about it once in a while, especially as you feel the child grow and start moving inside you, and you develop a relationship with them in a way, and you love them. But the wonderful people there at the Salvation Army home were very loving and encouraging, and the social worker that I was assigned to was a good Christian woman, and I talked with her on a weekly basis, and she tried to get me to help me to focus on the good that I was doing, that I was providing some joy to an adoptive mother and father who were unable to have a child.
Wow. And so you said you wrote a letter of some kind that was for your baby. Do you remember writing that and what you put in that letter?
Oh, I sure do. I remember sitting down. It was a two-pager, and explaining that that by no means was I giving her or him up for adoption because I didn't love them or didn't want them, but that the world the way it was, that it would not have been the most advantageous for that child. And my greatest prayer would be that they had a loving mother and father and big family to grow up in and grow up to be a good person, and that they would hopefully come look for me someday so that we could talk face to face and develop a relationship.
And
that was very important to me for that child to know that. They were wanted.
And she did find that out. Jennifer, we don't mean to leave you out of the conversation. You were adopted by a couple when you were how old?
Oh, goodness. just a few weeks.
Okay, so you were an infant.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about your life as a child.
I was placed in a home. That sounds so technical. But I had an older brother, and just grew up in a great family with cousins and aunts, uncles, and grandparents, and had a great family.
They're the best, aren't they, those cousins and aunts and uncles?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, Jennifer, the first time I saw you face-to-face. I'm getting emotional now because, you know, your mom is just so special to our family. And when we saw you and how beautiful you turned out, I just, you know, it's always stuck in my mind how wonderful was the decision that your mom made. And And so I think, you know, everybody needs to hear that out there and contemplate that really, really seriously when these things come up. Because, you know, as Deborah said, emotion can take over some time in the heat of the moment. And, you know, what a loved one might suggest could really be detrimental to not only that individual, but to other human life as well, as we're you know, sharing here today. So just a great, great story. Jennifer, I wanted to ask you, when you hear your mom talk about all that, what goes through your mind? Because, you know, I think young people might be listening. This is impactful. I know the ones that I've talked to about this, you know, contemplate, you know, what if my mom or dad decided that it wasn't convenient for them at this point in their life, or that, you know, some guy decides that he doesn't want to step up to the plate of responsibility and you know, be a father. What goes through your mind when you hear these, your mom talk about these events?
Well, and we, you know, Deborah and I have talked about this before, but even when, you know, when she went through it, even today, it took me back to, you know, when the age that I was when I located her, and seeing, you know, how old she was, I kind of assumed that she was fairly young, and you know, I was 20. Is that right, Deborah? Mm-hmm.
Right. And you were a junior in college.
I was a junior in college, and you know, just the similarities. That was the age, you know, Deborah was. And so here I was at that time. I was in college and, you know, had a boyfriend, and I was just, you know, I related and was like, you know, that would be an amazingly tough decision. And, you know, had I been in that situation, I would have made the same decision. You know, at that age that I was, I thought to myself, okay, so you're that, what would you have done? You know, and I would have done the same thing. I was, you know, if I had the tables been turned on me that same way, I wasn't prepared to be a parent. And so I understood. And you know, when I got the poem that Deborah had left for me, you know, you read that and you're like, this is a person who put a lot of thought into this. This isn't, you know, she cared more for me than herself. And, you know, I put myself in her place. If I would have had to have gone through that, you know, I would want to know, you know, did I, you know, be wondering, did I make the right decision? And I wanted the biggest message to go back to her is that you made the right decision, you know, and don't ever go through life feeling any regret about it. I'm fine, and hopefully you are too. And, you know, I just wanted to relay that back because I could only imagine, you know, what heartache she went through faced with that decision, because I knew had that happened to me, you know, I would want that validation back to be able to, you know, live forward and have a little closure.
Well, Jennifer, it's wonderful that you had such an open mind about your birth mother after reading the letter that she had wrote to you. I can't imagine that feeling. Can you take us back a little bit, though, and tell us, I guess, when you were old enough to understand, were you curious about your birth mother or
Well, I think there's a little bit of that, you know, probably comes from the Lord above as well. It never occurred to me that I would never have a, you know, there was always something in my heart that I kind of felt that, you know, there was a peace there about it, and that I was told, I don't remember not knowing that I was adopted. I think I was given a book at a very, very young age. It was kind of a little book about you are adopted, and you know, short to the point. It wasn't, you know, you were specially selected. That I can't remember the exact wording of the book, But it was kind of, it was a book that didn't make you feel any different than anyone else, and it was kind of a known thing, you know? So I didn't really think too much about it. I had a few friends that I had met through church growing up that were my age that were adopted too. So, you know, it wasn't any, you know, I wasn't any different than any of my friends. So I didn't feel, you know, any different than anyone else.
So it sounds like, Jennifer, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, your adopted parents from way on did not try to hide this from you, and mm-hmm. you didn't have some monumental exposure to that later on in life that could have been really been difficult for mm-hmm. them and for you.
Right.
So you felt, you kind of, as you expressed it, kind of grew up knowing that you were adopted, but you felt loved and you felt normal and all of that. And that speaks well to,
absolutely.
You know,
I mean, my, you know, other, outside of my, you know, immediate family, aunts and uncles and Deborah's and that, you know, them, and, you know, they treated me like I was absolutely one of their own. I mean, I never felt any way, shape, or form that I wasn't, you know, an actual part of the family. So
that's great. Well, you are listening to Faith and Family here on KFUO. We're talking with Deborah and Jennifer, a reconnected biological mother and daughter pair after Jennifer was adopted. If you have a question or comment for either of them, or maybe you would like to share your adoption story with our listeners, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-730-2727, or you can email your questions or comments, family@kfuo.org. We'll be addressing those coming up on the second half of the show. We would love to hear from you. So please give us a call or email us and let us know your story. Now, Deborah, we just have, I guess, a couple minutes left until we go to our break.
Hey, Liz, I have a comment here.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I have a meeting that I have to run to, but I thank you, Liz, for letting me sit in a little bit on this really wonderful program. And Deborah and Jennifer, thank you so much for kindly accepting and coming on. And Lord's blessings to you. Come see us in the Gateway City, St. Louis, on me. Love that. If you can't, hope to see you either in Texas or Denver, one of my two favorite places. So thanks again for coming on. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Rod, and love you, cuz.
Love you, too. You guys take care.
All right. Okay.
Take care of everybody there in Dallas. Drink some iced tea for me and some of that good Texas barbecue, Jennifer.
All right.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining with us, Rod. Before we do go to break, we just have, I guess, a little over a minute. Deborah, maybe you can tell us. I know that Jennifer's name, there was significance to that when you named her. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I gave her a name, a first name and a middle name, and of course my maiden name at the time, and that was on her birth certificate. And my middle name is Lynn, and so I gave that middle name to her. And when she called me in the middle of the night in Georgia 20 years after she was born and looked me up, one of the first things we discussed was what her name was. And her adopted parents didn't give her the same first name I did, but I was elated to find out that she was given the same middle name that I have. So Jennifer and I both have the same middle name, Lynn.
Wonderful. And I believe, Jennifer, now you're a parent as well?
I am, and my daughter has that same middle name.
So the Lynn is staying. That's wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back from the break, we'll continue our discussion with Deborah and Jennifer. We're going to talk about that phone call that you received, Deborah, to find out all about your birth daughter. So we'll be right back here on Faith and Family. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Give us a call, 800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
Thank you. poison, the devil's the pain. Moving the mountain that got in the way. Crippled to meetings to find a plan. Deciding the fate of the family of men.
And welcome back to Faith and Family on KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman. We're discussing adoption this week, the joys, the processes, the challenges, all things that have to do with adoption. We would love for you, our listeners, to get in on this discussion. If you have a question or comment for Deborah or Jennifer, or maybe you have a story of how you were involved in an adoption, I think almost everyone has someone in their family that has been adopted or knows someone that is adopted. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 314-505-7850 in St. Louis or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727, or email those questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. Now, before we jump back into that discussion, I want to let you know that coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, we'll continue this discussion on adoption. We'll share with you some of the places you can find helpful information if you're considering an adoption. Join Faith and Family Thursday at 11 on KFUO. Now, we were talking before with Jennifer and Deborah about a phone call. And I guess, Jennifer, your birth mother got pregnant during her junior year in college. You also had a big event happen in your life when you were a junior in college. Can you tell us what happened?
I had sent just from curiosity, I had sent away to I guess it's Kansas Records for my original birth certificate. After having that received the letter, I felt that there was an open door that was there, and so I felt the need to go and open it. So. Anyway, I was a junior in college. I was living in a sorority house at the time, and I came home from school and grabbed my mail, and there was this piece of paper. There wasn't like a, hey, here's your birth certificate that you requested, but it was just this birth certificate, and it had a name on there that I didn't recognize, and it had been quite some time since I'd sent away for it, and so it was kind of a surprise. And I read it and had a name on it, and then there was a birth date, and it was my birthday. And then there was the middle name was spelled with an E. And when I had gotten my driver's license, there wasn't an E on my birth certificate for my driver's license. And so I had always, though, been taught to write my middle name with an E, but it was missing. So there was the missing E that came from the original birth certificate. I'd always wondered what happened with the E. So, but I just realized I got this birth certificate, and it had Deborah's name on it, and so I went to the library at my college. Had seen a big bank of phone books on the wall right when you go into the library, and so I got the phone book for the Denver area and looked up her name, and Deborah's uncle had that last name. It's not exactly a common last name,
right.
So that was the link, and that was pretty much all I needed to contact her, other than a little bit of a little bit of thinking through and some courage to pick up the phone and call.
So when you got this birth certificate, I guess it struck up more curiosity and definitely wanting to find out who she was.
Right, because her age that was on the birth certificate was exactly how, you know, that was my age at the time, too. And that was just kind of shocking, going, wow, I could have been in the same situation, you know, had that happened to me, what would I have done, you know?
Right. So did you immediately want to find her, or did it take you a little time? Did you have to think this out of what you were really wanting here?
Well, back in that time frame, that was when, you know, the Oprah shows, they did a lot of reunion-type shows. And so, you know, you saw it all the time going on, and that kind of to help spark my curiosity as well. And so, you know, I'm standing there, and all these girls are coming around me, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, look what I just got. And they're like, well, what are you going to do, you know? And so one night at in our sorority house, one of my friends who was a criminal justice major came up and asked me, we called her Nancy Drew. Nancy Drew came up and said, you know, have you done anything with the birth certificate yet? And I said, well, you know, I've got this name and phone number in Denver. And I said, but I haven't called yet. And so one night we decided we were going to do it. And we kind of went back and forth and back and forth of, you know, well, it's kind of late, and then we talked about it some more, and then by the time I was like, okay, let's do it. So I let Nancy Drew go with it. And the next thing I know, the phone was being handed to me.
Wow.
So, yeah, my Nancy Drew is found her.
Wow. And Deborah, maybe you can take it from there. Tell us about the night that phone rang.
Oh, my gosh, it was one of the most wonderful moments in my life. I will never forget it. By the time that Jennifer called me after she got my contact information from my uncle in Denver, it was in the middle of the night, and I was living in Georgia where my husband was stationed at the time for the U.S. Army. And it was, I don't know, I think it was maybe 1:30, almost 2 o'clock in the morning when the phone rang and
wow.
Woke us both up. And my husband answered the phone, and someone asked for me, and he handed me the telephone, and it was Nancy Drew. And she wanted to know if I was the same person who had given a little girl up for adoption. And hello, are you there?
Yes, we're here. Yeah. We hear you. Sorry about that.
So amazingly, I said yes. Next thing I knew, she was the phone was handed to Jennifer, and there we were talking to each other on the phone for the first time in 20 years. And the first thing I asked her was what her birth date was, and she told me, so I felt confident that she was my daughter. And so of course I was crying and, you know, just shaking like a leaf, and my husband was listening as well, and he was just as excited as I was. And unfortunately, in the excitement of the moment, Jennifer's telephone got bumped and we got disconnected in the mid-sentence. And
oh, wow.
So I'm sitting there freaking out, sitting up in bed, and my husband's trying to, you know, calm me down, and he was so excited about it as well. And the phone rang again, and it was Jennifer saying, I'm so sorry we got disconnected, but we must have talked for another 20 minutes. And that's when, you know, we discussed what her name was and that we both had the same middle name. And coincidentally, she told me what her adopted last name was, and it was the same name as the street I was then living on. So it was just incredible. You know, my husband had always known from day one about her, and he'd watched me have heartache over the years, especially when her birthday rolled around. And so, you know, he had made up his mind that someday he was going to try and help find her for me, and Jennifer did it for him. So it was the most incredible experience, and it was definitely a God thing. I was overjoyed, and I still to this day feel like that God answered the prayers that I'd been sending up to him for 20 years.
Wow. And so what was the year that you two were connected?
Oh, let's see, Jen. What year did you graduate?
I graduated in 92 in December.
Yeah,
so it was 90 or 91.
Okay. Yeah, between 90 and 91, yeah.
Okay, so since then you've had some time to really get to know each other.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, the funny thing is that the scene at the sorority house that night was, I mean, it started with a few of us up in what we call the Blue Lou, and, you know, I was just kind of in shock when I was handed the phone, and I just, like, the first few minutes I was on the phone, you know, I was just like deer in the headlight look. And I look up, and I have this whole room full of girls, and they're just all in tears. They're just absolutely all in tears. And so I look up, and I see them all crying. So I'm... It was quite the scene. It was, and I'll always be remember whenever I run into them. They always ask about Deborah. So,
wow, what a story!
It was a pretty neat scene.
I just imagine that those other girls will remember that day for the rest of their lives
Well, exactly. And you know, who knows? Maybe one of those girls was based in one of those situations, and maybe it helped her. So,
yeah, absolutely. Jennifer, what was going through your mind when they gave you that phone? I mean, were you, I guess, did you believe
this?
Well,
there was a first mini call that was made, and Nancy Drew lost her courage a little bit. I think it was the first phone call, and Nancy Drew said, her name is this, and at the other end it was yes, and Nancy Drew hung the phone up.
So like a prank caller.
Yeah, and I said, "Oh my, you can't do that. That's gonna scare her. She's gonna, you know, 20 years later, she get a call in the middle of the night with the asking for your maiden name." And so I, you know, it took a little while. I said, "You need to call them back. You need to call back and just tell them while you're calling." And I said, I don't want her to be any more scared or have any other heartache than she's already gone through.
Right. So Deborah, were you a little leery of it after the first call they had hung up on you?
Well, I wasn't leery. I was just totally freaked out. I wanted to be reconnected, you know, because this was my chance to have my daughter back in my life.
Right.
And so I was just, you know, frantic that they would call back. So when the phone rang again and she was on the line, I was just overwhelmed with relief.
That's wonderful. Jennifer, tell me a little bit about your adoptive mother. Did she approve or, you know, what did she feel about you
doing
this?
Well, you know what? That's kind of a neat story. It kind of speaks to, you know, her generosity. I didn't, you know, I had the information, and that night that we did it, I hadn't really planned on it, so it kind of came out of the blue, and, you know, I didn't want her to be upset by it. By that time, my adopted father had passed away, and so it was a week or so before I just all of a sudden drove home in the middle of the week, and which was kind of a surprise, but I wanted to tell her in person, and so I sat her down, and I said, well, this is what I've done, and this is what what's happened.
Right.
And the first thing she said, you know, she just gasped, and she was like, in the middle of the night, you could have given that woman a heart attack. And she said, then I got the Jennifer Lynn, and she said, you didn't know if her husband didn't know about this. And so she was concerned for Deborah.
Right.
That, you know, you just can't go do this. It's okay. You know, everybody knew about it from the beginning, and it was a good thing. So, you know, I've got two wonderful mothers. I mean, I couldn't be more blessed. Great, strong women.
I have to jump in here and remind you too, Jen, that that was when your mom immediately went to her treasure trove of childhood pictures of you and pulled out pictures and gave them to you so that you could send them to me. And so I was able to see pictures of you all through when you were a small baby until you grew up.
Wow.
And I'll never forget the first letter I got from you, and it included a copy of your senior picture from graduating from high school. That was an incredible experience.
Yeah, and when I got pictures of Deborah back, and we have the same eyes. And when we first met, I was like, I'm staring back at my own eyes.
Jennifer's a blonde and I'm a brunette, but we definitely have the same eyes.
Wow, that is really something. And Deborah, I was going to ask you about Jennifer's adopted mother. So you've met with her or you've talked with her?
Oh, yes. I love this woman dearly, and one of the first things I did was sit down and write her a letter and send it to her and tell her how grateful I was that she had adopted my little girl and what a wonderful job she'd obviously done and how much I respected her for it. And then it was also important for me to put in that letter that I had no intention of trying to replace her, that in fact I knew in my heart that there's no way that I could, because to Jennifer, that lady is her mom, and that's who she was raised by and who loved her and was there for her through thick and thin, and I'm sure grounded her when she was ornery and nursed her when she was sick and had all the hopes and dreams for her. And from that time on, we were great friends, and whenever I go to see Jennifer, her mother lives nearby, her adoptive mother lives nearby, and she's always part of the get-together. I love this woman dearly.
That's such a great way to look at it, because you just have to have an open mind, and that's wonderful, and it sounds like she did raise a wonderful daughter. Deborah,
well, from the time that we got to know each other, Jennifer told me over and over again, and to my family and to her adoptive mom, she said, there's enough love in my heart to go around for everybody. And that's just the way our families are. We're blended together.
What a great example. Tell me about your relationship now between Deborah, you, and Jennifer. What are some of the things you're able to do?
We talk on the phone, sometimes it's weekly, sometimes we go for weeks at a time when both of our lives have been busy. I worked for the government and I was stationed with my husband overseas in Germany for several years, and we wrote letters and emailed and all, and we got together when we could. Early on, Jennifer and I traveled to Colorado, and I introduced her to her half-brother and her two stepbrothers and my mom and dad and aunts and uncles and all. And then she traveled with her daughter, my granddaughter, to Germany, and we had a great time. And we've done a lot of things together, and we just stay in touch, and I consider it a blessing. I mean, it's kind of like we know we're mother and daughter, but it's sort of like a big sister, little sister relationship. It's mother-daughter as well, but, I feel like there's nothing I can't talk to with her about, with her, and I think she feels the same way with me. And we've, propped each other up when we had our bad times, and, hopefully she knows I'll always be there for her, and I feel the same way about her.
That's great. Yeah. And, Jennifer, you had a very open mind about your birth mother, especially after reading the letter she wrote when she had you. What advice would you have for adopted children who may have ill feelings towards the parent that gave them up?
Well, I mean, it's kind of each person has their own personal growth path, I guess, if you will. And I have had two friends that their reunions were not as pleasant as mine. So, this is a happy story, and ours is. And I know of some that haven't been as happy, unfortunately. But what you have to take with that is that everyone in life has stumbled through things, and you have to figure it out on your own way. Had it not been a happy, type reunion, to some of my friends that it's not been, I just have to encourage them to go, you have to go on, be strong and go on, live your life. This is a happy story, a happy ending, reuniting story, and they're not always this way. But from the adoptive child's perspective, you can't let that stop you.
All right. And Deborah, when you were at a time in your life when you were more ready, did you have other children?
Yes, I did. I 2 years after I had Jennifer and gave her up for adoption, I got married and eventually had a wonderful son. And unfortunately,
very wonderful.
that marriage didn't last. However, God was working his wonderful ways and blessed me by bringing a wonderful man back into my life who coincidentally was someone I also knew at college. And he had two sons of his own, and so when we got together and got married, we became a blended family. And we were married for 30 wonderful years before he passed away 3 years ago from cancer. But I can tell you from the first phone call that according to my husband, Jennifer was his daughter, and they bonded immediately when they met each other, and till the day he died, he considered himself her dad, and I believe she felt the same way and still does.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great. And Jennifer, now that you're an adult, I'm sure that you understand how your birth mom could have taken the easy road out and done away with this pregnancy. We're so thankful for Deborah's choice, and I know your entire family is as well. Are there even words that can express your gratitude to your birth mom?
You know, that's exactly it. I mean, words can't even express. I mean, how this turned out, I mean, it's just it's an amazing extended family. You know, you have all kinds of blended families anymore with, you know, the rise of divorce and all of that, and it's an extended blended family.
I feel the same way. I mean, us getting together and having such a great turnout, I believe in my heart that this is God's affirmation to all of us that decision that I made all those years ago was the right thing to do, and that was what he wanted.
And you know, they say that God works in mysterious ways, and what a blessing this has been. Not only has this child brought love into one family's life, but now you're bringing love into several families, and I understand you have a family of your own now. You're a mother yourself. Is that right, Jennifer?
I am. I am.
Okay. And what do you have, a boy or a girl?
A girl.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Yeah, it's just amazing how the cycle continues, and we're very thankful for Deborah's wonderful choices. And Deborah, with just a few minutes left in our show, what advice do you have? There's so many young girls out there that may find themselves in a tough situation, maybe an unplanned pregnancy, and they may be in college just as you, and it may seem that there's just no other option, and especially nowadays, abortion, and it's just so easily accessible. Do you have some advice looking back on your experiences?
Oh, yes, I do. My advice to any girl or woman who finds themselves in that situation, I would just ask them to tell themselves the time for recrimination is over. Here are the facts. Look at them as calmly and soberly as you can, and then, of course, the next very important step is pray about it. Talk to God, and talk to someone that you respect and love, hopefully your family. Go to counseling, whether it's a minister or someone in a social work environment, and just lay it out and ask them to help guide you and listen to what God tells you to do. Remember that the most important thing is that little life inside of you.
And that's for sure, and we're so thankful for your decisions, Deborah, with Jennifer. Well, we want you to know that our hope is that even if one person is thinking about adoption and is helped by this hour that we've had here on Faith and Family, it'll be worth every bit of difficulty it may have been to talk about such a tough time that turned out to be a joyous time after all. Deborah and Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family. It's been a pleasure having you. Is there any last-minute thoughts that you may have from either of you?
I would just say if there's anybody out there that's listened to our story and it's helped in any way, it's a blessing. And God's love to you, and I hope that you know, the painful time can turn into a happy story like ours, and just have courage.
Very well said. And Jennifer and Deborah, thank you once again. We appreciate you coming and talking with us. And yes, we hope that your words will help someone else in a similar situation. Now, remember, coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to continue this discussion on adoption. We're going to share with you some of the places that you can find helpful information if you are considering an adoption. Join Faith and Family tomorrow, Thursday at 11 on KFUO. You have been listening to Faith and Family. You can give us a call on our comment line at any time. It's a 24-hour comment line. That number is 314-505-7839. We thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family. We'll be back tomorrow. Make it a great day.